together again. I sure appreciate him meeting us here this morning once again. Thankful to feel his presence here already. We've got several prayer requests, nowhere near as many as last night, but we'll take these needs, and then I'll ask Brother Terry to come again and pray over those. Before we read these requests, also, we had a request last night, but let's continue to remember the Kinzer family. Brother Sammy Kinzer passing away yesterday, if you didn't know that. So I think he was 60 years old is what they told us this morning. Was out hunting with his grandchildren and passed away. So he was a very loving family man. So that's going to be a big gap there in that family and that church. So let's pray for those folks. Please pray for Jesse Sacker. He has stomach virus. And also his mom and sister are not feeling well. Just remember them. My friend Matt Meadows requested prayer this morning for his wife, who has been very sick and running a fever. That's from Brother Sam Wyko. Please pray for Barbara Savage. She went into a diabetic coma this morning, fell and hit her head. She's in serious condition. Also a sister, Tanya Van Loggenberg. She's having several episodes of just severe pain and would like for the church to remember that. And then also here we have a testimony. It says, I came to church last night and he fed my soul. I was walking down the steps after church to go home. I knew I didn't have gas to get back home. I was afraid I would not be able to get to church today. I said, God, you know our needs. Someone stuck out his hand, shook my hand, and God put $100 in my hand. I cried all the way home. Praise his name forever. So, the Lord's mindful, isn't he? Let's stand this morning as Brother Terry comes. As Brother Terry would come, we'll take these needs to the Lord this morning.
Thank you, Brother Terry. That touches our heart, doesn't it? There's just nothing like the sweetness of the Lord Jesus. You know, we think about Why do we love Brother Ram so much? Well, the reason we love Brother Ram so much is there's so much Christ in him. And that's the only really good thing about any of us is the Christ is within us. And that's why we love people. Their natures, their sweetness, their kindness, and their good deeds, it's all because of the Christ that's in them. And we desire to be more of that each day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for that little testimony there. Somebody stuck out their hand, had a need. Somebody stuck out their hand, supplied that need. But there had to be a desire on somebody's heart to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, to be led to do such of those things. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we can have the Spirit of Christ within us. And we see, Lord, a more now day by day as we get closer, Lord, knowing this is Satan's Eden, his paradise. Also, on the contrawise, the other side, the bride is coming into that full maturity of matured sons and daughters of God, and how we're thankful for this wonderful end time, how it means so much to us, Lord, how we're privileged to live in this day. It's hard. It's the taskmasters are getting harder, but yet it's the most glorious day to be living, because I believe even in my age of 62, I'll see the rapture and the change of the body. We are truly that close. We invite your presence this morning. May you come and take the uppermost seat, and may we divorce all thoughts of our carnal natures of work and play and this and that and the other. But Lord, truly, this could be the last service. We know not when the day or the hour is, but this could be that time. But truly, let us concentrate on you. We draw our strength from you. We love you. We pray for these requests, Lord, especially now. I pray for the Kinzer family. Brother Sammy passing on to his rewards, Sister Carol Kinzer and Hope and Darren and different in his church and the family and grandchildren. Lord, I've known Brother Sammy for years. Be with that family, that church. Help them is our humble prayer. Lord, I pray especially for the needs of the Philippines, the very, very severe needs of probably the hardest storm that's ever been recorded, ever has hit, perhaps, Lord. And the nature of the storm is at such devastation. And all up and down the islands, there's great need. I pray for them, Lord. And God, would you help us that we could do something to help them? It's really a tremendous, many, many message churches over there all through the Philippine Islands. We pray that you would just touch the hearts of people's lives, that they would feel compassionate to give and to help. We pray, Lord, now for each request that I hold in my hand. I'm asking that you'll deliver, meet the need, Lord, testimonies of people being healed and delivered and touched, hearing the word of God, being healed right in their seat by receiving the word of God. Don't have to be lay hands on, just the entire way, just believe. All things are possible. We appreciate it, Lord. Give us grace. Thank you, Lord, that you permitted Brother Donnie to speak this weekend. I know that he's healed because you promised it. It's a finished work. When it's manifested, I know not. But in my way of thinking, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. God manifested, I pray. Touch him. Bring us the word of God this morning. We're hungry to hear more of your nature. Grant these things. Heal each one that I have in my hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated this morning. Oh, saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve. Could not find my way, but Jesus shined a light on me. He turned on my night to day. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. Saved by grace, it's not. Brothers would like to come and lift an offering for us, tithes and offering this morning, and if Brother Joel Brown would come and sing for us this morning, if he wouldn't mind to do that. And then it went pretty good when we learned a new song last night. So let's try that again. Let's try to learn another new song. Let's sing this, I'm Going Home with Jesus.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His church away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. Help me sing. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His church away.
I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most in time, and the crown of life is waiting. Thank God will soon be mine. I got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, yes, the trip's been paid for me.
Well, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day,
vessel. He's calling, get on board. The destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore. We'll meet again the Savior and our loved ones who've gone on there to live through all eternity. Oh yes, I'm going home.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. But I know that I'll be leaving just the promise when He calls His church away.
Jesus, in the twinkling of an eye, I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls me by the way. I'm going home with Jesus, in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away.
Praise the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful testimony the saint gave about the money. They had a need, and the thing that struck me was they didn't allow that to prevent them from coming to church. And God knew that the mail don't run on Sunday, so He gave it to them last night. One sat alone beside the highway, begging. Can I take my time on this? His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Listen. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the heart with glory. For all can be changed if you let Jesus come your way. Unclean, unclean, the leper cried in torment. The deaf, the dumb, in helplessness stood near. The fever raged, disease had gripped the victim. Then Jesus came and cast out every fear. When Jesus comes, the demon's power is broken. I know that. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He'll take the gloom and fill your heart with glories and hallelujahs. For all is changed since Jesus come to stay.
to once knew. This life without this Savior, I lived alone and oh so selfishly, bound by chains of worldly deeds and passions. Then Jesus came and said, my child, be free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, my fears, my doubts, they were driven away. Take the gloom, he'll take the gloom, he'll take the gloom and fill your life with glory. For all is changed since
that song, Brother Joel. Let's stand this morning as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Well, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for it is
appreciate that today, don't we? Let's turn today, if you would, to the book of Numbers again, chapter 16, verse 31. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31. I'd like to speak to you again today on will worship can kill you. will worship can kill you, or divine worship can set you free. It depends on which way you want to worship. All of us are going to worship. Every mortal is going to worship. Drunks, drug addicts, liars, prostitutes, everybody's worshiping something. But you have the choice of what you want to worship. Listen carefully now. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Now let's look in verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. How can human beings be so stubborn? How can human beings be so forgetful? The very next day. Just read it again, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation, now remember, this is not a little small dissension, this is not a handful, all the congregation of the children of Israel. Dathan is gone, Korah's gone, Abiram's gone, the leaders are gone, but the dissension is still among the body, among the congregation. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. I knew Moses was a powerful man, but I didn't realize he had the key to open the earth's mouth. No question about it, he was a great vindicated man of God. But when could he call fire from the presence of God and kill people? Isn't it amazing how people can become so senseless when they start away from truth? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, how we love you today, Father. We thank you for your divine mercy. That's been given to each of us, Lord, the allotment of grace that you have allowed to come our way. We are so grateful. I pray today, Lord, that you would help us. We believe these things have been written for our admonition. As I said last night, we know these people that this happened to have been gone for many, many thousands of years. But the spirits that motivated them in that direction are very much alive today. And as we stand here today, we're living in the closing hours, we believe, of the Gentile history. We ourselves can come under the exact same spirits that lived then, if we so desire. Or we can be under the influence of the Spirit of God that will lead us straight into your word. For me and my house, I choose to follow you. Speak to us today, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Just to reiterate to you just a little bit about this Korah move. Brother Brown mentions it in several different places, and if you've studied it and looked at it, you're familiar with it already. But he says, Moses and Joshua had faith in the word. The others wanted to dance and strip the women, Korah. Why? By his Egyptian wisdom, Moses didn't want that. Look at them Korahs today, making an easy way, dancing all night, parties, women bobbed hair, short dresses, anything. Don't make any difference, that's all right. It isn't all right. The word says it's not right. Now that will be, remember, prophecy in Jude says that they will come again in the last days. So a Korah move will be to strip the women. It will be to tell them bobbed hair is okay. It will be able to tell them it don't make no difference how you look, what all this, that, and other. Remember, when you hear that, that is from a voice of a Korah move. Again, Korah had the same baptism that the rest of them did. But what did he want to do? Let the women just dance and drink a little wine and have a little time. stripped them off and have adultery. You know, the Bible said they did that. They took those women and stripped their clothes and made them dance and things like that. Moses became angry with them. Remember the time? Why? They did that. Dr. Korah had his wisdom. He said, I'll take you back to Egypt. So now remember, part of the Korah move is to take people away from following a true prophet of God, take them back to Egypt. And Egypt is what? The world. So a Korah move will never lead people to holiness. It will never lead them to more consecration. It's not going to burst people under the baptism of the Holy Ghost and make them more like God. It's going to tell them it don't matter what you look like. Them days are past. Well, that's old fashioned. It's old fogey. Well, let me be an old fogey then. Let me be an old fogey if I've got to be right. Let me be a fogey or a whatever else you want to call me. But let me be right so God will accept me. To me, that's the most important thing. Again, he says, and why I'm against organized religion. Korah tried to form an organized party against the messenger of God. Korah tried to form an organized party against the messenger of God. Far be it from us, Lord. May the Holy Spirit always protect us. From what? From being a part of a Korah move that'll try to organize and follow a move that'll be against the messenger of God. Again, Korah, as we all know, had got himself together and complained about God not being just to do a thing like that, to make one man with the message. And he said, we're all holy. Well, why can't we have a denomination? Why can't we set this up and do this and do that? Now remember, this is also part of the Korah move. It is against a one man message. Now remember, one man don't preach it, one man brings it. And then out from under there will go the ministry of those who have been taught to be able to say the same thing that he's already said. You notice just before they entered the promised land, all the differences that rose up among them. And one of the great things was Korah. Right before the entrance into the promised land. Why didn't this move hit back, friends, in the 60s? Wasn't time. Why didn't it come in the 70s? Wasn't time. But it's time. Why? You're getting ready to go in. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the great things was Korah. He didn't want this one man leadership. Dathan, you know how they come before Moses and try to tell him the message had to mean this and put a different interpretation to it, their own idea of what it was, and they everyone perished. Now remember, the consummation of their unbelief was headed up in their annihilation. So the destruction that was given to them was meat for that which they had done. And now, as we looked at it last night, that God actually, through a vision apparently, had revealed to Moses, if these men die as normal men, then I'm not son of God. But if God creates a new creation, if God opens up the mouth of the earth and swallows these people down and they become totally absorbed in the earth, and the earth will totally absorb them, and they will disappear from among the congregation, then you'll know that God has sent me. Now, after God swallows them up, everything that appertains to Korah, those which appertain to Dathan, Abiram, their children, their houses, their lands, their animals, everything that was there, then the Spirit of God came from the presence of the Lord, and a fire came out and destroyed the 250 famous princes that was in the congregation and annihilated them. The children of Israel, as I read to you last night, where Josephus and Ben Ezra both had said that the screams were so loud, the children of Israel ran and ran because it was horrific. The amount of noise and the screams that the people were making as they were going down into the pit. Now remember, once they went down into the pit, straight down into hell, then the earth closed her mouth back up again and resumed the same thing, and the people were scared to death. They were terrified. But remember, it did not change their hearts. This rebellion had become so infectious that the entire congregation now had this message, backslidden flu. So they were all still infected. Now Korah was dead, Dathan was gone, Abiram was gone, the leaders were gone, but the infection was still there. So once then that, the fear, how in the world could the fear of such a catastrophe leave in one day? I don't understand it, to be honest with you. But yet apparently these people had become so hardened against the messenger and against the message that the very next day they began to resume their same attitude. Now let's look, if you would, in Numbers 16:41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Now, so, such a thing that would have been absolutely overwhelming. They had never seen anything like this in their life. It would be similar to you and I standing here today, going outside and seeing the earth open up and swallow up houses and cars and people and automobiles and so on. And then the earth come right back together again. And as if though there was never even a crack made in the earth. You tell me you're going to get over that day after tomorrow? You're going to forget about that? There is no way. You're going to say, you'll never believe what I saw. We'd drag our phones out. We'd take pictures of it. We'd take videos of it. It would be so overwhelming for us to see such a thing. But the hardness of their hearts had so blinded their perception of spiritual reality. It had even numbed them to the judgment of God. It had numbed them to the spiritual part of saying, Moses did not do this. Aaron could not do this. God did it. And God did it because of these people's unbelief. But yet, the very next day, on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Now, it's amazing how the corruption can so violate people's perception. And people that have known right from wrong, and they've known good things, and all of a sudden, once they leave truth, it's like they become so muddled that they no longer have the ability to discern what is right and wrong. And they used to have perimeters or boundaries by which they live by. And then once those perimeters are gone, then everything is okay anymore. Nothing is actually gray anymore. Nothing is, everything is in grace. So they can do whatever they want to do, and they're in the grace all the way. That's disgrace. Grace does not allow you to live like a devil or a liar. It demands a holy, godly life. But yet their perception and the reality and their sense of godliness and purity and holiness and righteousness, even their ability to discern and to make judgment of what is going on, it was like they become so muddled that they could look right at it and it would leave them. And one day's time they would come back and begin to accuse Moses and Aaron. How could they say Moses killed them? In reality, they're not accusing Moses of opening up the earth. In reality, they're not accusing Moses of causing fire to come out of the presence of God. But they are accusing Moses for murdering them because Moses never asked for mercy for them. You never find Moses saying, God forgive Korah. God forgive Dathan. So because they never heard him say that, they are now blaming him. Who did Moses ask for mercy for? The congregation. He never mentions Dathan's name. He never mentions Abiram's name. He never mentions Korah's name. So now, because he did not intercede, he is now guilty in their eyes of their death. Now, they blaspheme, of course, and they turn away from the word of God, because it wasn't really questioning Moses. They was questioning God's own divine choice. Yet, look at this in verse 42. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord appeared. Now remember, this is a significance, because the glory of God, once it had settled down upon their daily journeys of where they were going to go, the glory of the Lord would appear and disappear. But according to the way it would appear, had a significance in what God's attitude was. Now when they first dedicated this place, the glory of God overwhelmed the tabernacle. It come on the outside. It even went to the inside, insomuch that the priests could not even minister. So the appearance of the glory and the depth of that appearance had a great relation how God was dealing with the congregation. Normally, on a normal average day, the glory of God would hang over the tabernacle. It would hang above it, and they would be able to separate the tabernacle from the Shekinah, hanging above it like this. But on this particular day, as they look toward the tabernacle, they see that the tabernacle has actually become engulfed in His presence. Now, we know it's the same way with dispensations on the earth. There are times that God chooses to move on the earth in such miraculous ways. You understand, the earth was going through that time frame in the 50s and the 60s, even the early part of the 70s. It was a time of great miracles. It wasn't just Brother Branham having miracles. There was women preachers having miracles, Trinitarians having miracles. There was miracles all over the earth. But as you know right now, the glory of God has changed its appearance. And we see miracles on occasion, do we not? But is it the same time as it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Let's be honest, it is not. You know why? The glory of God is appearing in a different form over the tabernacle.
And when he appears in a different form, there's nothing we can do to make him go back to our preference. He's doing it because of his own choice. We love the time of miracles, do we not? Signs, wonders, and all that. But look, friend, it will never be repeated again as it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, even in the early 80s. I saw miracles in my ministry in Pentecost. I mean, absolute phenomenal miracles that God did. And yet I look at it now, I believe I'm closer to God than I've ever been in my life. And I'm closer to His Word than I've ever been in my life. Do I see as many miracles as I saw in Pentecost? I see less. Oh, Brother Donnie, that proves you're not close to God. It proves no such a thing. It proves the glory of God is moving over the tabernacle in a different way. Can I go back? Oh, God, I want that to repeat. It would be absolute nonsense for me to say such a thing. I would be regressing away from the presence of God. So what do I want to do? I want to accept where He is and the way He's manifesting Himself over the tabernacle. If He chooses to have less miracles, so be it. If He does, He knows exactly what He's doing. I don't know how to run the kingdom of God. I don't know how to produce a rapture. I don't know how to produce a bride, but He does. Just face it, you don't either. We don't know how to end this thing up. We don't know what to ask for. This is why we need to pray in the Holy Ghost, so the Spirit knows how to pray out of us. Oh, my. Now, these people weren't altogether totally backslid in the sense of their perception of spirituality. Because as they look, verse 42, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, not hanging above it. Amen. The cloud covered it. The cloud had so descended above the tabernacle, it had pulled the tabernacle into itself. They should have known they were in trouble. The glory change from the presence of God always means there's something happening. The correlation of that happening from heaven to earth will always be identified by His personal presence according to what He's saying, doing, and thinking. I want to be in tune with that. Now watch. They look toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. Notice the separation now. The cloud covered it, and the glory, Shekinah, of the Lord appeared. This is a manifestation of God. God has now changed His attitude. It is reflected by the appearance of glory. Now the judgment upon Korah and Dathan and Abiram, we see the day before of what God did. He manifested Himself in a supernatural, miraculous way. But now this is another day. Now God's going to do something a little bit different. And it produced no change of heart in the eyes and the hearts of these people. The cloud now manifested that the glory of God is going to do something in a different way. Notice it's over the tabernacle of the congregation. The tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 43. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. The glory change brought wrath. It's not now time to walk on water. It's not now time to heal the sick. God's come with killing on His mind. Dear God, children, may we be hid. Do you understand where this earth is heading? Do you understand when the bride leaves this world in a rapture and the glory moves away from the tabernacle? God will enter into the tribulation period with killing on His mind. One tenth of the earth is fixing to fall in, and millions will die at one time. Oh, city that calls yourself by the name of the angels. Get you from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Now notice God giving Moses and Aaron the ultimatum. Get away from them. I'm sick of them. God have mercy. Don't never let Him say that about me. Don't never let Him say that about you, Brother Larry, Brother Dow. Don't never let Him say that about us as a church. Happy Valley, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of your backslidings. I'm sick of your frailty. I'm sick. Back away that I can destroy them. Oh, this is the side of God folks don't like in it. Somehow they think God got saved in the New Testament. God ain't got anger no more. You just ain't seen it. God still has anger and he has wrath. Notice this. God says, you get away from them. As long as you're among them, I can't kill them. So you and Aaron, leave them. I'll consume them as if it were a moment of time. Oh God. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron. Now the day before, God had revindicated his prophet's position. Dathan, Korah, Abiram, their children, if they had 2-year-old children, 6-month-old children, 15-year-old, 14-year-old, they everyone perished because of their unbelieving fathers. Except for the sons of Korah who pulled away from that congregation. God vindicated Moses the day before. But today is Aaron's turn. They were charging Moses and Aaron, the prophet and the ministry. God proved Moses the day before. Aaron didn't do anything except just pray. Aaron never spoke. Aaron never called down the wrath of God or the judgment of God. But now God will turn this, once again, through their demise, their destruction, God will revindicate that he has called a ministry. It's really sad. It's really, really sad that God revindicated them by their destruction. As I've said before, for those who turn away from the truth, God will once again vindicate this message and the messenger by the very prophecies made of people turning away when we see it manifested in their lives. The same thing with the true men of God that are called to preach this message in the end time. God is going to come among them, and he is, and he will manifest himself. Will they go through the hospitals and into the hospitals? That's not the time. But God will anoint his men to preach a getting ready message for a getting ready people. Are we going to go out and have tents and campaigns and God's going to approve Donnie Reagan and Tempera? No, no. That's not what's in God's mind. That's not what's in God's heart. What's in God's heart is getting the people ready to leave this world. We will sit under the ministry of such men that will so prepare us for the coming of the Lord Jesus that in a moment of time we will be changed and walk out of this hell into the presence of God. The Word will so get a bride ready, you'll be changed in a moment of time. Now watch Moses as he instructs Aaron. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein. From off the altar. Now remember, this was the original lighting by God himself. This is very peculiar. Because incense is supposed to be offered only on the golden altar. They're not even in the tabernacle. They're outside church. But already God has broke loose among the people. The plague has already started. God proved Moses the day before. Today God's going to prove Aaron. So Moses speaks to Aaron. He says, take fire from the altar and put it in a censer. And put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation. Now notice, not Moses. The prophet is not going among them. It is the ministry. Come on, church, wake up. Oh my. Aaron had accepted this God called position that God gave him. He may not have wanted it. He may not have thought that it was the greatest thing in the world, but God had given it to him. And because of that, he'd become greatly ridiculed and despised because of these people. He was Moses' helper, lived in a very submissive type of role the most part of his life. But now God is going to approve again by these people's demise. This is so sad because by these people's destruction, the ministry will once again be proved that what they are doing and saying is the truth. Amen. their backsliding, their deaths will further prove these are God-called men. That's not what I want to be read about me. I want my life to prove these are God-called men. I want my obedience to the word. I want my body change to be a witness that what these men have said are the truth, not my destruction. It's up to you. Do you want your backsliding to prove that I'm further a man of God? You want your demise, the destruction of your children, to prove this message and messengers the truth? Or do you want your body change to prove it? It's up to you. You make your choice. I can't make it for you. Now notice he, as he follows this instruction, no doubt coming directly from the presence of God, take a censer and put fires therein. Aaron, don't get in such haste that you forget where to get the fire. Don't do as your sons and offer strange fire in haste. But get the fire from the original baptism of the Holy Ghost. From off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation. Now what this is going to do, it's going to bring an atonement, which is very strange. This man is going to produce an atonement without the shedding of blood. There was no atonement allowed, permitted by God, without the shedding of blood. But this man's not killing a lamb. He's not killing an ox, a turtle dove, or a pigeon. His office means so much to God that God said, let Aaron walk among them and I will accept him. He will act as the atoner. Lord, children, oh, how we ought to appreciate the gifts of God that God sends among us. Well, I'll tell you one thing, when this is done, when this day is finished, the real believers are going to be totally convinced like never before of God's gifts among them. Now, the altar, the burnt offering, of course, receives the initial lighting of the fire of God. From there, he's to take, put the fire in the censer, which was a small pan. He's then to hold the incense in one hand and the censer with the fire on the other. He's not to mix it yet. There's a time. Now, once he walks out among the people, then he's to sprinkle the incense over on the fire. Put on incense. Now, incense, of course, in the scripture is identified as prayer. Psalms 141:2, David says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. What a petition this man is making, that his prayer would be in the place of incense, and the actual uplifting of his hands would take the place of the sacrifice. Lord Jesus, do you understand the real believers in this day? That's where you are. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus, we don't need a turtle dove or a pigeon, but you actually come in the presence of God and your prayer is like incense. Notice in Luke 1 chapter 8, this is Zechariah's father. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So the people are on the outside praying. He's on the inside offering incense. So it is the mulling together or the merging together of their prayers with the incense that comes up in the presence of God. Revelation 8:3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So here Aaron walks among them. Who is he? The high priest of God. People are dying by the thousands. The plague is broke among them. How's God going to stop it? A gifted man. Amen. 250 famous men walk out with 250 censers. With fire, with incense. And it brought their death. One man walks out with one censer, original fire, and word incense. And stops the plague. Oh God. One man in the hands of God. Notice in verse 46 of Numbers 16. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer. And put fire therein from off the altar. And put on incense. And go quickly unto the congregation. And make an atonement. You imagine this, Aaron says, brother, no blood, no sacrifice. It's just with the word. I'm to make an atonement. Look at the word atonement. At one moment. Something has come between the people and God. Moses ain't playing games. It's from the inspiration of God. God is going to further vindicate his gifted ministry. Make an atonement for them. Why? For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. May I say to you, the last plague which will strike the Laodicean church is death. And in case you don't know it, the plague has begun. For some, it's too far gone. For some, they'll never return. But for some, there's still hope. Tracts are wonderful. Sending books and tapes around the world are wonderful. But God didn't send a man out with a book. He sent a man out with a gift. A call, an office, a position. A gifted man that was called and anointed by the Holy Ghost to reverse this judgment of God. Lord Jesus. So Aaron has a censer with holy fire in one hand. He has incense in the other hand. And he's to make an atonement for sin. No blood, no animal, no life has been shed. No innocent substitute. Where is the atonement made? In the ministry of this gifted man. Boy, I figured this would choke y'all to death, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. Can't you see why God so looks down the people of this message? You think you don't need preachers? Who ridicule preachers? Can you imagine the hell that awaits them? They're not making fun of Donnie Reagan or other gifted men. They're making fun of God's own word. God is now punishing the congregation, as it were, a blast from his supernatural presence. And it started among them. In a matter of moments, 14,700 people were killed. Not Philistines, not Amorites. Message followers. Prophet people. We don't like these types, do we? It's the truth. If you're hidden, you should like them because it ain't going to affect you no how. People, preachers preach against smoking. I can shout, man, I can shout my shoe heels off. They talk about people dipping snuff. I can scream, holler, amen, amen. You don't see no amber running out of this mouth, do you? Huh? They talk about drinking whiskey. I can shout right with them. I ain't guilty. They talk about unbelievers. I can say, glory. I ain't an unbeliever. They talk about going to hell. I can say, praise God, I ain't going because I ain't. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he'll be able to bring to pass what he said about us, friends. I cannot imagine the anxiety and the stress that is on this man. And Moses is simply commanding, making no effort whatsoever to stop the plague. Moses is standing there and telling the ministry what to do. Notice verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded. Look at the urgency. And ran. It's no time to walk. It's no time to count your money. It's no time to worry about degrees. Oh, I'm not educated. I didn't graduate from high school. It's a time to get out there and do it. And ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. Now here he's running, but the atonement is not fully made yet. So he's running with the censer, with the fire and the incense. But under the direction of the prophet of God, he doesn't put it on as soon as he's at the tabernacle. He waits till he gets in the midst of death. You imagine as he runs, 5 die here, 10 die there. A 4-year-old child dies, a 16-year-old boy, a 13-year-old girl, and he runs right out in the middle of death. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can't you see him acting out the type of our Lord Jesus? Amen. He did not put the incense on when he left heaven, but when he left the Garden of Gethsemane, and he walked right out there and said, yes, I'm here to take you on, one-on-one. I'm here to defeat you. So Aaron runs out among them and he takes the incense. A gifted man now. These 250 people with the same incense, a similar censer, and the same fire. They put it on. They're fixing to sign their death warrant because they're not called to do it. This gifted man walks out there, same fire, same incense, but a gift. Sprinkles on that incense, and this plague of death just stops in its tracks. Amen. Why? This man obeying exactly what the prophet of God said. He had the right fire. He had the right incense. He had the right censer. He had the right call of God. And it stopped death. Y'all ought to be able to rejoice. Don't you understand? Gifted men have done the same thing for you. Watch what he does as he runs out among them. And the Bible says he put on incense and made an atonement with no blood. Prophesying of a time when men would be able to stand on the earth without a display of physical chemistry. Token time. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Since incense was symbolic of prayer, Aaron is appearing among the people in the form of intercession. You're talking about a powerful thing. This plague has come from God. This plague is initiated from God's presence. And a man, not a prophet, a man walks out there in obedience to the message of the hour. And he stops that plague and sends it back into the presence of God. Many of you were on your road to hell. You were in spiritual darkness. You were in spiritual death. And God not only sent a prophet, God not only sent a message, God not only sent a Holy Ghost, but God sent pastors and evangelists and teachers that were gifted men of God to take that word and to drive that death back from your life and bring you out of the channel of death, out of the channel of darkness, to where you sit today and say, we have been illuminated by the presence of God. How? By gifted men. Gifted men that were called of God to intercede on your behalf. They could not die for your sins. They could not do that, but they could pray for you. They could cast devils out of you by the preaching of the word. Lord Jesus, one censer in the hand of the right man can stop a plague. ~250 censers in the hands of 250 wrong men mean nothing to God. God cares nothing about your fame. God cares nothing about your fortune. Come on. What's God doing? God is proving his man. Yesterday was Moses' day. Today is Aaron's. Hallelujah. Look in verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living. You think it ain't important where you go to church? You think it ain't important what preacher you listen to? You want some polished soothsayer that'll tell you things that you want to hear instead of some gifted man of God that'll tear your hide off of you? I want some preacher that can stand between the dead and the living. I want a man of God that can stand between hell and heaven and point me in the right direction. I don't want just a polished theologian that can tell me all the good things I want to hear and scratch my ear. I want a man that if I get a devil on me, he can cast it off of me. Hallelujah. Notice, not Moses, Brother Jim. Aaron is standing between the dead and the living. If a God called man with a censer and fire and incense could disarm the angry God. What about our lovely Lord Jesus? Aaron was able to stand there in obedience to the message of the hour, and God's anger was appeased. No lamb, no dove, no turtle dove, no pigeon, no ox, no bullock. But this gifted man stood there. Glory to God. If God would accept Aaron, what about when our Lord Jesus, hallelujah, come to this earth and become so one of us that he would reiterate back to Paul and said, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Can't you see why God has not killed you 40 years ago? How many sins have you done since you become a Christian? How many ignorant things have we done since we become children of God? Why didn't God kill us? Our Aaron Amen. Our Lord Jesus stayed the wrath of God. How many times, oh my, would the wrath of God broke loose on me and broke loose on you? But he couldn't do it. Why? The Lord Jesus stood between the dead and the living. Don't you understand why the tribulation will move upon the earth? The Lord Jesus is not protecting the earth from tribulation. He's not protecting denominations from tribulation. That's why they'll go through the tribulation and be purged. He's standing between the living and the dead. And there's only one way we can be alive. We've got to receive the life of Christ. It's not enough to say, I believe God sent a prophet. That's not enough. It's not enough to come to Happy Valley. You've got to have the life of the Lamb. Glory! Lord Jesus, God was so insulted. God was so angry. So mad. And one man walks out in obedience to the messenger of the day and does word by word what the message tells him. And God's looking down with anger and wrath. And when he sees this gifted man walk out, God says, huh. Well, that took care of that. I'm in a better mood. Oh Lord, children, what good does all of our words do? What good does all of our fancy clothes do? What good does all of our money do if we don't have the ability to turn the anger of God? Aaron and this remarkable act typifies the Lord Jesus. May I go farther and say, don't think I'm crazy. I believe he typified every gifted man. The true ministry is not the ministry of Donnie Reagan, Tim Brewitt, or Ed Biskel, or Mike Price, or whatever preacher you'd want to mention. It's the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I want to be such a pastor to you, I'll have enough guts to tell you when you're wrong. And when I see death encroaching, I want to be able to stand between the dead and the living and stand there as a man of God and offer you a way out. I'm not your Savior. I'm not your Redeemer. The Lord Jesus done that. Aaron was not their Savior. He was not the Redeemer. He was simply obeying the message of the hour of what it told him to do. The message don't tell me to sit down and play tapes every service. The message don't tell me to compromise and lighten up on this and lighten up on that. The message tells me I'm to preach the word. The instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. Oh my, the message tells me if I see something creeping in this church, it's my responsibility to cry out. Notice in verse 49, now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned. Now this is definitely the kind of return ministry I believe in. Aaron returned unto the message. Unto the messenger. Amen. Aaron returned unto Moses. Unto the Lord. You mean to tell me that prophet of God has stood there this whole time? Why? It was not his job. Lord have mercy. I have been just about ready to explode for the last 5 weeks to preach this to you. So pardon me if I have a spell. Oh, glory! Why did Moses? because God never laid it on Moses' heart. He told him to tell Aaron, you go do it. Brother Branham ain't going to come and preach you into a body chain. Paul ain't going to come and preach you into a body chain. It's going to be the ministry of this day and our anointed of the Holy Ghost preaching the message of this hour. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! You say, Brother Donnie, be careful, you're going to hurt yourself. A shouting might do that kidney stone good. Maybe that's what it needs, a good Holy Ghost shout. So come out. Moses must have been so confident that Aaron would be able to finish this work. That he just stands there at the tabernacle, the door of the congregation, and waits. I know y'all think I'm crazy and foolish, and I probably am all the above. When I meet the Lord Jesus that day, I desire to hear him say, you did a good job. After I get through hearing his words, I want to then move to the messenger of this age. Well, I know some of y'all don't think you need him. I know I do. Since he'll be presenting us in this age. So you're going to have a tough time being presented if you don't believe in a message. I want to have a church in this message that if Brother Branham were alive, he'd be able to walk among us and say, that's what I wanted. That's what I seen. That's the vision I had that the message should be. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the plague was stayed. This man acting out the intercessor through a peculiar way of atonement. He walks back to his position and the death angel has to leave. Lord Jesus, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful things that have been written in your word. We thank you, Father, even though it was written many thousands of years ago, yet the Holy Ghost can take these instances and make them so real and so applicable to our day. Please help me, Father. I don't want to be a preacher, just a title. But I want to be a man of God who can stand between death and life. I want to be a servant, Lord, that can offer these people a way out of this world. Lord, help me. Help me, I'll never be full of pride and arrogance. Help me, I'll never fall away from simplicity. Help me, Lord Jesus, I'll remain sincere till I die. Or till I'm changed. Lord, if there's one here today that the plague of spiritual death is hanging over their soul. In the supernatural realm, if we'd be able to see it today, I'm reminded of a couple different discernments I found when Brother Branham would call people out. One particular comes in mind, and it was a woman that had come up in the prayer line. Brother Branham told her something wrong with her, and then he said, I see your husband. He's shadowed to death, but he's got darkness over him spiritually. He's not a Christian. So he was shadowed in his soul and shadowed in his body. But there stood an angel of light in the form of a pillar of fire. To stand between death and life.
Lord, help us today. We've got loved ones, friends, family members. The plague is on. The Laodicean plague of darkness. Lord, they're becoming to where they're beyond. It's a past feeling time. Seem like we talk to our loved ones and our friends until the hour's late. They laugh at us and go on. Pay no attention. But Lord, if there's yet mercy, would you deal with their hearts? Help us, Lord. We can take this token life. Oh, Jesus. The screams of death are among us. But it's deceiving. It doesn't sound like death. If we could revert back to the first Exodus in the land of Egypt, and we would have heard the screams of death from the servant up to Pharaoh's house, it would have been a cry that would have been a cry of mourning and sorrow. We would have known beyond a shadow of a doubt there was something terribly wrong. But Satan has been allowed in this last day to change those screams to where they appear to be screams of pleasure and screams of joy and screams of freedom and liberty, so-called. But to the spirit-trained ear, we hear the scream of death. Those that are leaving this message and saying their women are now free and they can do whatever they want to do and live however they want to live, to them, that may be a scream of freedom. But to us, it's a scream of death. People saying they can just do whatever they want to do and go to church and, you know, however they want to do. And you accept all of that. That may be a scream of churchianity. And they're calling it such joy. But to a spirit-trained ear, it's a scream of death. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. We're not judges. We're not to judge people. That's not our position to say who will be saved and who will not. That's up to you. But Lord, we just desire mercy. Not only for ourselves, but for the others in this gross darkness as it's coming upon the people. Be merciful to us, Lord. May we go among our families with the atonement. May we go among our friends with the atonement. Help me as a minister that I can come among these people here that you've given me charge over. Help me that I can carry the atonement, Lord God. Help me to stand between the living and the dead. Help me, Lord, to walk a life before you. That when they get bound with devils, I can cast the devils away from them. Lord, that I can preach a message that has life in it. And demons will leave them while they're sitting here hearing the word. Grant it, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together if you would today, friends. Praise be to God. Don't you appreciate the mercy of the Lord Jesus in our hearts? Will worship can kill you. Surrendered worship can save you. I'm reminded of the little woman that has such a need of her daughter. And she comes to the Lord Jesus. She uses the wrong dispensational claim. Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter has this and then and the other, and Jesus, in our terms, basically ignored her. She cries out to him again. Wrong claim, wrong dispensational claim. Jesus turns around and looks at her and said, woman, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. What if I made a personal reference to you in that way? Would you ever come back again? But you look at the Greek word that the Lord Jesus used, and then look at the Greek word that woman used. And she said, that's true, Lord. Yes. Jesus used a Greek word for a big dog, but she used a Greek word for a little dog. She said, that's right, Lord. But you said I was a big dog, but really, I ain't. I'm a little dog. Yes. But my daughter still has a need. The prophet, in referring to this instance, said she had so much faith. Jesus himself couldn't even run her off.
That's a real believer. Some of y'all can be run off by a deacon. Shame on you. Be run off by a trustee or some little old measly preacher like me. I want to have such faith that as Jesus himself stands right there and looks me in the face and said, get out of here. I'm saying, I am not. I am on your hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him a little bit together now. Remember, you make your choice. God will prove this message is true. He'll prove his God called ministry are true. And you will decide on which side the proof will be manifested in your life. You want to backside and get away? Then I will preach in reality what will happen to you. And it will happen exactly that way. The message has already set forth what will happen to those who leave this truth. The message also sets forth what will happen to those who obey it. I will preach of those who will obey the truth. And what will happen to them? Your goal, your future is really looking great. Hallelujah. I mean, just let you encourage you a little bit, just in case you've tried to sign up on Obamacare and you found out that the computer was down and this didn't work and that didn't work through healthcare.gov or whatever it is. Let me just reassure you that if you go to Jesus, his is always up. His always works. There can be billions calling at one time. The system never shuts down. You'll never get an error message. You'll never get a miscalculation. It always works. It always has. And it always will. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus won't tell you that you can't keep your eternal life plan and then change his mind. If Jesus tells you you've got eternal life, bank on it, brother. You've got it. If Jesus says, I'll never leave you, he won't. If Jesus says, I'll never forsake you, he won't. Praise be to God. Let's sing together, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Are you glad to be in church today? Oh, thank God. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Save me, give me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, faith. Oh, he's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Thank you.
joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, vanishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, my God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free. From condemnation, Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of my past have been all forgiven, and I know my name's inscribed in the book of heaven. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He saved me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Jesus gives liberty and full salvation. Peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Who is on the Lord's side?
is granted all the praise and glory. For he gave his son on Calvary to die. Oh, that same son gave his life.
Just raise our hands once more before we go and dismiss. Oh, Jesus. Take our wills. Take our desires, our motives, our objectives. Make us, Lord. Shape us into what you want us to be. Thank you for the service today, Lord. Thank you. Once again, we have sat at the table of the King. The King himself has served us delicacies of his word. He sent his presence among us and healed the sick, brought deliverance to the captives. Once again, the King has stood between the living and the dead. We thank you today, Lord. Go with your children now, Father. Bring us back Wednesday night if it be pleasing to you, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the believer said,
Amen.
God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Appreciate you so much. Trust you enjoyed the service today. This is a blessing to you. Let's sing it as we go. When the music fades and all is stripped away,
can I simply come, longing just to something that's important that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. I'm coming back to the heart of
every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, than the way things appear.